Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are none different from you. This beautiful sloka from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion or the final realization which takes place in the lives of two personalities who have gone through much of the variegated pleasures and pains of this material world. In fact, this whole material creation was ultimately arranged by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the purpose of giving the chance for all living beings to come to this realization of totally surrendering our body, mind, words, and lives at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna through the process of always thinking of him, bowing down to him, always chanting his glories, and always aspiring to be in the association of the Vaishnavas. It is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that while Krishna was just a tiny child, his lila of Bal Gopal, he would be very fond of stealing the butter from the pots of the gopis. On this particular occasion, on the day of Diwali, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna her milk, and meanwhile the milk that was burning on the fire stove began to boil over, so she placed Krishna down in a comfortable place and went to tend to her duties. And Krishna took this opportunity to perform one of the most beautiful and loved pastimes that is forever enacted within the hearts of his devotees. He wanted to show us that there is no occupation superior than pleasing Krishna, that we can let all the rest of our world fall down, but we should never neglect our service to Krishna. Because ultimately, everything of our world will fall down by the power of time. But as Krishna explains in Gita, Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. There's one thing that is eternal in our lives, one thing that is never lost, and that is whatever spiritual progress we make by engaging in devotional service, by performing bhajan and seva at the feet of Krishna and his devotees. So Lord Sri Krishna, he broke the pots of butter and he began to eat the butter. And when Mother Yashoda came and saw what type of mischievous act he had performed, she began to chase after him. And he ran away. And she ran. And that personality who cannot be captured, even by those great yogis who perform tapasya for millions of births through fasting and giving up sleeping and sitting in one position and focusing one's mind on one point, who cannot be captured by those jnanis who study the Vedic literatures birth after birth after birth, scrutinizingly memorizing and reciting each sloka with perfect Sanskrit meter, who cannot be captured by those karma yogis who perform grand yajñas, even to the extent of the Gomeda or Ashwamedha yajña, which is impossible to be performed in this age of Kali. He was captured by the simple gopi of Braja, Sri Yashoda Devi, because she was empowered by bhakti, by pure love, unmotivated, uninterrupted by any selfish desire. And when she went to bound Krishna for the sake of his own safety, however much rope she would bring, it was always two fingers too small. And the gopis, they were going from place to place, and they were bringing more and more and more ropes, and it was all being tied together, but each time it was two fingers too short. And Mother Yashoda and all of the other gopis, they were laughing, having such a wonderful, amazing joy just seeing the incredible, incredible mystery of this child, who due to yogamaya potency, they were not able to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But alas, he allowed himself to be bound. And Mother Yashoda, she went to her activities, all for the service of Lord Krishna. There is nothing she could ever do that wasn't directly and specifically for Krishna's pleasure. And at that time, Krishna, who was tied to a wooden grinding mortar, Utkala, he began to crawl. And along with him, he began to drag this very, very big, heavy grinding mortar. And he saw two trees, very, very large, wide trees, that had been there for 100 celestial years. And he crawled between those trees. And just by his small act of crawling, as the grinding mortar got caught between them, the trees began to tremble. The leaves began to fall. All the branches began to shake. And within an instant, the entire trees fell to the ground with an immense, tumultuous, crashing sound. And then two beautiful personalities, as brilliant and as effulgent as fire, appeared and began to offer prayers to the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit asked, who were these two personalities? And Shukadeva Goswami explained that there were two sons of the treasurer of the Devatas, Kuvera, and they had, due to their father's wealth, they had so much fortune They had so much facility to enjoy anything they liked. And besides that, they became intimate associates of Lord Shiva. And because of this very high position of being an associate of Shiva, as well as the immense fortune that they had become very intoxicated with pride, ahankar. And one day they were at the residence of Kailash, and close by there was a garden. And near that in that garden, there was a lake, river, which is called the Mandakini Ganga. And they, with beautiful, beautiful young ladies, they were sporting in that water without any clothes. At that time, the great sage Narada happened to appear. You see, one cannot find such a guru as Narada Muni. Nor can one find such a guru who is a representative of Narada Muni in this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. It is only by the mercy of Krishna that he somehow or other, by his causeless mercy, makes this arrangement by which we could come in contact with such a great personality. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudani mayaya. The Krishna within our heart is directing us according to our desires and according to ultimately what is best for us. Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jiva guru krishna prasare vai bhakti lata bija. After wandering throughout so many universes for countless lifetimes, ultimately by the grace of Krishna, we are given the association of a real devotee. And by the grace of that devotee, he plants the seed of bhakti within our heart and gives us the chance to perfect our lives. So when Narada appeared, the young girls, because they were shy and basically pious, although misled, they became very much ashamed that we are standing naked before such a great sadhu. This is very shameful. So, in great anxiety of heart, they came out of the water and began to cover themselves with clothes. But these two proud demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were so intoxicated by drinking a celestial beverage called Varuni. Their eyes were rolling in their heads, and they didn't care anything whether there was a sadhu, whether there was a Vaishnav standing before them or not. They showed no respect. And when Sri Narada Rishi saw this, he became very angry. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this type of anger is actually the anger of love. He gives the example that just as a father, when he sees the child is sleeping, and it's time for that child to take a particular type of medicine, sometimes he pinches the child, which causes the child some pain, just to wake him up to take his medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni appeared angry only for the benefit of these two lost souls. And he began to speak. Just see, because of so much money, so much wealth, how your lives have been spoiled. One of the most dangerous and implicating of all attachments in this world is attachment to too much money. In fact, in the Western world, it is said that money is the root of all evil. And even in Srimad Bhagavatam, we could understand like this. In the Bhagavatam, it is explained that Kali, the personification of illusion and degradation, is always present, where there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Maharaj Pariksit told Kali, you can be those places, nowhere else. But Kali, with folded palms, he said, that these four sinful activities cannot exist in your presence, my great king. And he said, all right, wherever there is the hoarding, attachment to too much wealth, gold, there you can reign supreme. Because wherever there is attachment to too much money, the tendency is for illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And we find in the Western countries, such as America, the whole society is based around these four sinful activities. As far as illicit sex goes, there's no such thing in their vocabulary as illicit sex. Because if you're not having sex by the time you're a teenager, there's something wrong with you. Sometimes you're sent to a psychiatrist. That there must be some sort of a phobia or fear in this person's mind that he's not living a normal life. I'm telling you honestly, considered strange. And generally, people, they just try out one partner after another, after another, after another, and then after some time, if they think this is nice, then they may get married. But nowadays, it's becoming fashionable just to forget about the formality of marriage. Because with the formality of marriage will undoubtedly come the formality of divorce. So better to just live like animals. How this has come about? This is such a wealthy country. So much opulence. And the richer and stronger they get, the more there's illicit sex. What to speak of intoxication? Amongst the upper classes, any type of social occasion, there is the cocktail party. I don't know what cocktail means, but it means that they get intoxicated. That's just, if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you. When you talk business, when you visit relatives, it's always centered around drinking alcohol. In some social circles, in other social circles, it's all centered around taking some sort of drug, intoxicating drug. And it's rampant. Intoxication is eating the country away. Through illicit sex, the major cities are just rampant with epidemics of AIDS, unwanted population. And there's so much quarrel about abortions. Nobody talks about controlling their senses. They only talk about what to do after the fact, whether you should or shouldn't. And gambling. Intoxications is the largest money-making industry in the whole planet Earth right now. cities are infested with drug addiction, massive gang war crimes based on drugs. And as far as gambling, people are bored to death unless they're gambling wealthy people, especially in the Western world. And those who follow the Western ways, even here in India, they become addicted and intoxicated by gambling. They have so much money that they just have to do something with it that gives them some sense of excitement. And once they get addicted to such gambling, even if they have nothing, they can't give it up. Again, it is born out of too much wealth, too much pride. And as far as meat eating, meat is expensive. And the wealthier countries of the world are generally those that have the largest quantity of slaughter of innocent animals. Why is that? The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that that when you have too much money, you don't realize what type of suffering poor, unfortunate persons are enduring in their life. You just become so much infatuated in yourself that your heart becomes hard and cruel toward others. So yes, where there is too much greed and hoarding of riches, there will follow illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, and especially false pride. So, Narada Muni, he explained that when you are in such a condition of false pride, thinking yourselves to be the proprietors, thinking of yourselves to be great and opulent, thinking yourselves to have such capacity to enjoy, you forget that this body is not your property at all. Ultimately, this body is eaten by vultures and turned to stool, or it is burned in a fire and turned to ashes, or it is eaten by or it is buried, turned to dust. So whose property is this body? Is it our mother and father's who gave life to it? Is it our employer or our master who claims possession over it, giving us orders? Does it belong to material nature, of whose elements it is all derived from? One becomes illusioned. And in that false condition of prestige that is born of too much aristocracy, high birth and wealth, one also is prone to not respect properly the great devotees of the Lord, the sadhus. One is always suspicious. One is always thinking that I have so much. Whoever approaches me, they must want something from me. And they can't have simplicity or faith in their lives in anyone. They can't trust anyone. Because they're always thinking that everyone wants what I have. And the reality is, in material civilization, everyone does want what you have. Money, wealth, prestige. But a saintly person is not like that. For him, gold is no different than the yellow color of stool that is passed by one who has jaundice. That's what the saintly people think of your wealth. Arrivo. And they are not concerned with anything but helping you to become liberated from your illusion, from your bondage. We cannot trust them because we think they're after our money. Of course, in Kali Yuga, so many so-called sadhus actually are after your money. They're not really concerned for you. They're concerned for what they can get from you. But a real sadhu, a real devotee, he will utilize whatever you have in Krishna's service for your benefit and for the benefit of others. But most of all, he wants to elevate you because he has compassion. He feels sorry for you. While the rest of the world envies a rich man, the sadhu pities the rich man. Look at all this bondage. Unless, of course, that rich man is a devotee. That is a different story. But to the degree we are enamored by some high position, Queen Kunti prays, to that degree, we cannot approach Krishna. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Edamanamadapuman Naivarhatya Vidatum Vaitvam Akinchina Gocharam. That those who are too much intoxicated by attachment to too much wealth, high birth, too much education, and strength and beauty, due to their false pride, they cannot approach Krishna with feeling, with humility, with devotion. They cannot chant properly the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In fact, Narada Muni said to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva that among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Leads to the degradation of the soul. But a poor man, his door is always open for a sadhu to come in, and he's grateful. Oh, obviously you're not coming to take anything from me. You must be coming to give me something. So he gives him a little sitting place and washes his feet, and if the sadhu lets him, of course, and offers him some water and inquires, how can I serve you? Please, give me the great gift of Krishna Katha. But in a wealthy man's home, when a sadhu comes, there's guards and there's gates and there's electrical security devices and there's dogs barking. What do you want? Go away, go away. If I can't exploit you, go away. And even one's own best friends and intimate relatives all becomes objects of our competition and suspicion. And it creates chaos in our life. So Narada Muni, out of compassion upon them, he said, you are so much illusioned by your great wealth and prestige that you are standing naked before a sadhu. You have no respect for the representative of God. Therefore, I curse you to take your birth in such a way that you can stand naked for 100 celestial years as trees. But please know that my curse is ultimately a benediction. Because after weathering the miseries of a tree throughout all of that 100 years, Narada Muni benedicted them that they could have full consciousness of their previous lives as demigods, which makes it even more miserable. How does a tree tolerate all that it's going through? Because it has such a low state of consciousness, it could stand in the burning heat of the summer all day long with no relief. It can stand in the winter covered by ice for 7-8 months at a time with no relief. We would certainly die if we were in that situation, because our consciousness could not tolerate the misery. But the tree's consciousness is so low on the scale of conscious evolution that it hardly feels anything. But these two Arjuna trees were endowed with full consciousness of their previous birth as demigods, but with the bodies of trees. You can imagine how bored they must have been, standing there, not being able to move. Some of you may have at one time broke your leg or had some injury in your back where you're told to have strict bed rest for 1 month, and you have to just lay there, and you realize that you just can't wait till the doctor lets you move and go somewhere. And you're just laying, and your consciousness, because you're used to so much activity and so much dynamic experiences, it's very, very difficult to just lay in one place. But at least you could chant your rounds. But as a tree, you can't do anything but stand. You cannot even move anything. If the wind comes and moves your leaves, then you move. Otherwise, you have no power. Now, what is a celestial year? It is explained that 6 months of our human calculation equals 1 day of celestial time. So 100 such years to stand as trees. But Narada said, after getting sufficient realization in that condition, you will have the supreme fortune of having the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna face to face. And they became twin Arjuna trees. And when Krishna was pulling the grinding mortar, he looked at those two twin Arjuna trees that were in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and he was thinking that I know who these trees are. It's Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, the devotees of Lord Shiva. Such proud, puffed up people they were. I have nothing to do with such proud, puffed up people. But because they were blessed by the benediction of Narada Muni, for that reason only, I must give them my special mercy and liberate them forevermore. This is very, very instructive. If somehow or other we get the blessing and the favor, sometimes the favor of a great Vaishnava comes in different forms. But if we get the favor of a great devotee, then only will Krishna recognize us. Otherwise, due to our sojourn in this material world for so many births, Krishna wants nothing to do with such rebellious people like us. But he will always show his special mercy upon one who is favored by his devotees. So in this way, Bal Gopal pulled the grinding mortar through the trees, and the trees came crashing down, and Nala Kuvera and Manigriva appeared. And they, with folded palms, began to offer obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna. Full realization that he was the supreme truth, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. They had to be put into a state of utter poverty to realize this, to come to their senses. This was the grace of Narada. And then they surrendered to the Lord. They had plenty of time to contemplate their previous life and their sins and their mistakes. And they were ready to give their lives in the loving service of Krishna. And they began to glorify and praise Sri Narada Muni for his kindness. And they offer this beautiful prayer. Henceforward, may our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. Here were these two beautiful, shining demigods offering prayers to this little baby Krishna, who was just chased after and punished by Mother Yashoda. And Krishna, he was so pleased upon them. He said that the great Saint Narada is very merciful. By his curse, he showed the greatest favor to both of you, who were mad after material opulence and who had thus become blind. Although you fell from the higher planet Swargaloka and became trees, you were most favored by him. I knew all these incidents from the very beginning. When one is face to face with the sun, there is no longer darkness for one's eyes. Similarly, when one is face to face with a sadhu, a devotee, who is fully determined and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one will no longer be subject to material bondage. O Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, now you may both return home, since you desire to be always absorbed in my devotional service. Your desire to develop love and affection for me will be fulfilled, and you will never fall from that platform. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. So, we should know that Bhoktaram Jagata Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshu. Suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvam om shanti mishtita. Everything is the property of Krishna. We should never think in terms of I and mine. Never claim this body to be yourself. Never claim to think that anything in relationship to this body belongs to you. It is all Krishna's. It is all by Krishna and for Krishna. If we simply have this understanding, we will never be bound by the shackles of birth and death or all the miseries that come between. So in whatever situation we're in, akinchana gocharam, whether we have great material wealth due to some past karma, or whether we are in a poverty-stricken state due to some past karma, is not really important at all. What is important is that we are Krishna conscious. That we are not attached to anything except service to Krishna, the association of Krishna's devotees, and the chanting of Krishna's names. We read of great kings, kings like Rishabdev, Prithu Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj. They had such fabulous wealth, but they were always gentle to the sadhus. They were always humble and always in a mood of serving the Lord with whatever they had. And we read about Sudama Vipra, who was so poor, the most opulent offering he could give to Krishna was some broken chipped rice. But because they had that spirit of devotion, they were perfect. And the Mahabharata explains Duryodhana was the king of Hastinapur. And Vidura, he was classified often as a Shudra. He didn't have much. And Duryodhana invited Lord Sri Krishna to have lunch at his house, to have prasad. But Krishna said, no, I will not go to this house. Although he had prepared and arranged so many delicacies and palatable foods with the finest ingredients and the best possible cooks preparing them. At Vidura's house, all he had to offer was some fruit, some bananas, something. But Krishna was happy to go to Vidura's house. Why? Because he was humble. He respected the Vaishnavas. He was the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's servants. But at the same time, Krishna, he also took prasad in the kingdom of Mithila at the house of Bahulashva, who was a great royal king with all riches, because he had bhakti. He had respect for the Lord's devotees, and he was a humble servant. So we should know that whatever situation we're in is due to our previous karma. Good or bad is not important to Krishna. Bhaktyamam api janati yavandyashtasmi tatvata. Krishna will accept us and reveal himself to us if we have the simple, sincere spirit of devotion. If we feel ourselves to be the grateful and humble servant of his servants, then Krishna will accept our offerings through the blessings of his devotees. That should be the goal of our life, the purpose of our life. Because in that spirit, we can, in the proper consciousness, chant Krishna's names. And Krishna is non-different from his names. Krishna reveals himself to those who chant his name in a humble mood of being a servant of his servants, not intoxicated or proud by any situation that may be around us. Then Krishna will so kindly make our whole life beautiful and perfect when we call out his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
let us not allow our minds to be diverted by any of these circumstances of this world. We must keep our mind fixed. Vyavashayatma kabudhir ekeha kuru nandana. Bahusha kahyanantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. And that takes place by making the priority of our life to associate with devotees and to have very good sadhana at all times. And without regular satsang of true devotees of the Lord, this material energy will definitely divert your attention away from the proper goal and intoxicate you with pride and prestige. And we should know that the more we have in the form of wealth, control, or prestige in this world, the more Maya is around us, surrounding us in these forms. And therefore, the more it is absolutely necessary to have proper association with devotees regularly. Otherwise, we will certainly be distracted, and our priorities will just become completely bewildered. And we must have good sadhana. And chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Because we are not going to achieve a transcendental state by simply being pious. Because being pious can also aggravate our false pride. And actually, Manigriva and Alakuvera, they were actually associating with Lord Shiva, who's a great Vaishnava. But they were proud that they were so close to him. They weren't in a mood of being the humble servant of his servants. They were using their relationship with such a great soul just to increase their prestige. And not only that, but they were bathing in the river Ganges. The Ganges purifies everyone. But they didn't go to the Ganges to be purified. They went to the Ganges to commit sinful activities. And they weren't associating with Lord Shiva to hear him explain the glories of chanting the Maha Mantra. Associating with Lord Shiva because it gave them even more prestige. So how we approach the association of devotees is very important. And they had the association of Narada Muni. But it didn't mean anything to them. They knew he was a great sadhu. They knew he was a great saint. It wasn't until they had to spend so many tens and thousands of years as trees that they realized how great of a saint Narada was. And then in their hearts they understood that they were the humble servants of the servants of his servants. So do not allow your mind to be diverted by the temptations of Maya, which are all around. Associate with devotees in a humble mood of service. Hear from them submissively. Render service to them. And follow their instructions as your life and soul. Hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And chant the holy names. Thank you very much.